Facebook's rapid advance across the Pacific and the globe has connected billions of people. And with 5 new profiles created every second, its expansion shows no signs of slowing. Founder Mark Zuckerberg spruiked the vast economic potential of communication technologies to world leaders at the recent APEC summit in Lima.
Research shows that for every 10 people who get online, about one person gets lifted out of poverty and almost one new job gets created. So if we can connect the 4 billion people who are unconnected, we can lift hundreds of millions of people out of poverty.
In Papua New Guinea, well-known blogger Martin Namarong says the people of PNG have benefited from the networking power of social media.
I think in the PNG context, the disruption's been really good. The democratization of news and in terms of the platform, Facebook, I think is a great asset for Papua New Guinea in terms of creating this avenue for participatory democracy.
But governments and politicians are becoming increasingly concerned by the impact of the unregulated flow of information online. In the wake of the US presidential election, there are reports that fake news, often hosted by Facebook, could have played a part in Donald Trump's unexpected victory. Media expert from the University of Melbourne, Professor Scott McGuire, says the media landscape has changed dramatically.
I guess the big issue now is that increasingly you're seeing people access news stories through social media services such as Facebook or through something like Google News. And that means that to some extent the role of the newspaper editor has been subsumed by that combination of algorithms and the choices that Facebook editorial teams are making about what is prominent for news. Now, the deal with mainstream media was always about credibility, that you had an editorial team who, you know, promised you that the stories were that you were accessing were well-resourced, researched, that they were had been validated in various ways, cross-checked, and that they had credibility. That's not the case on social media.
PNG's Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, is not alone in voicing his concerns, joining a chorus of governments across the world. Prime Minister O'Neill has stressed his commitment to internet freedom, referring again to Facebook chief executive Zuckerberg.
All APEC leaders asked him questions directly, and we asked him about the issues on, of course, fake news. I wasn't the only leader who asked. It is important that we encourage freedom of speech. We encourage a voice for people who want to be heard, but it must be also accountable and responsible. That is why we put it to the Facebook CEO that Facebook itself has got a social responsibility. It is not about trying to ban Facebook or trying to discourage people from getting onto Facebook. It is going to become our way of life. It is something that will be continuing to grow people into exposing their views, making sure that they engage in public debates, and that is healthy, but it must be done in a manner that is responsible.
Samoa's communications minister was a delegate at the recent World Internet Conference in Wuhan, China.
With Facebook, with a lot of the over-the-top services available now, it's a worry for us small countries, and a lot of what's coming in now needs to be controlled.
Lance Polu is the owner and founder of Talamua Media in Samoa and a strong advocate of media freedom. He too is concerned social media may pose a real threat to media integrity.
Just last week we had a hoax message on Facebook that our head of state has died in the United States, but it will be up to the serious media to do the basic things, to check on these things before they actually take them as serious news.
Blogger Martin Namarong says that in line with the United States, social media and online news will likely play a big role in Papua New Guinea's upcoming election.
I think in the context of PNG and leading in the lead up to the next year's general election, we will see the emergence of a lot of spin coming out on social media, and I think that will make elections in 2017 quite interesting for Papua New Guinea. There's no reason why powers that be in PNG or in the Pacific can also use social media to put out stuff that can influence outcomes in society.
He says that while social media poses a significant regulatory challenge, the medium may be beyond control.
I do recognize that there is a challenge there, but then the nature of Facebook is, you know, there's so many opinions, millions of users, you cannot police everyone.
Nonetheless, some countries like China do implement strict censorship regimes. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are all banned there. But Mr. Polu doubts Pacific nations have any plans to start costly censorship measures.
I don't think it would be in the agenda to actually go into censoring the internet and censoring the social media, but look at ways that we can actually
benefit more from the technology and what's available than trying to censor it.
But the New York Times has recently revealed that Facebook has quietly developed software that can censor material by geographic location, thought to be designed to help the platform finally be approved for use in information-controlled China. The move shows a willingness to compromise on historical commitment to internet freedom and is an indication the social media platform may be willing to work with governments to control information. Mr. McGuire says the move demonstrates the complex relationship between governments and social media.
You're thinking about the global nature of these platforms and the need to conform with local law, and obviously Facebook's desire is to get into China, which is the most rapidly growing media market in the world. And similarly, I think you'll see national governments in different jurisdictions, I mean, Iran being the most obvious one, that are putting blanket bans on certain types of social media. It's never a simple issue of it's just all open. It's just, I suppose, the issue of the relative degree of openness and closure.
Despite these concerns, Pacific nations continue to expand their communication networks, with Samoa announcing plans to install a new fibre optic cable connecting it to Fiji, where it will join up to the Southern Cross cable between Hawaii and Sydney.